Hello, everybody, and welcome to the VR2 on SI podcast. I'm your host, Jack Foster, joined by VR2 on SI writer Jake Nichols. Today, we are recapping Tennessee's 56-0 blowout win from Neyland last Saturday briefly, as there was not too many surprising storylines. And then Jake and I will move on to going over Tennessee's first road game of the year, first SEC game of the year at Florida this Saturday in Gainesville. But first, Jake, man, happy hump day, and how you doing this morning?
Man, I'm doing well. It's cold and rainy outside. It is the first day of fall, and it feels spectacular when I walked out the door this morning. So I'm feeling pretty good, even though it's, like I said, cold and rainy. But, you know, I'm actually happy about that, contrary to probably most people. So
is fall your favorite season?
Yes, I would say so. Yeah, actually, I would say definitively so. Winter in Tennessee, I don't know why, but like it, we have like the most polar opposites in terms of weather. Like, you know, it's blazing hot in the summer, and then in the winter, you feel like you've got hypothermia every time you walk outside. And so, fall is like definitely my favorite season. Just like in the 60s, maybe high 50s, like just enough for like a quarter zip or like a light jacket or something, and you know, nice and cool. So it's perfect, and it is football weather, as a matter of fact. So
yeah,
you know,
football
I love it,
season
so.
Too. Yeah, of course, football season's always the best season. But and if you're ever wanting to travel in the fall, be sure and contact our friends Beth and Price at Actor Travel Company by Dream Vacations. Because if you're looking to book travels at any time during the year, but don't want to do all the work, just contact them so that they can do all the work for you. Acker Travel Company is currently sending you a $50 Visa gift card to book with them. So what's there to lose? Just go ahead and give Beth and Price a call now to find that dream vacation. All right, Jake. So a quick recap of UT versus the Golden Eagles from last Saturday here. Offense put up a little over 400 total yards. Hooker accounting for nearly half of that through the air. So just briefly here, Jake, did anything jump out at you with this UT offense? And let's start with the positives to take away from this game offensively before moving into SEC play.
I think that firstly, obviously, look, Tennessee Tech is not a good football team. We know that. We knew that going in. We knew that Tennessee would obviously try to gain a lot of confidence and work on themselves in this game. And I think that they did. And I think that one bright spot that we saw, despite his fumble at the end, was Hendon Hooker. That, you know, that we have seen him, I think, take control, at least in his part in this quarterback competition. And, you know, for my two cents, he's looked great. Well, not great, actually. I take that back. He's, you know, he's looked good, or at least like he has enough control of the offense. Like he can make the throws that are needed, short throws at least. And then, you know, has good running ability, but they're still missing on those long balls. And so, you know, you have to, regardless of what quarterback you have, this Saturday, and I think that the jury's still out on whether it's going to be Joe Milton or Hendon Hooker, that you have to be able to complete those long balls. And we saw again this past Saturday that Hooker struggled with it, and then when Harrison Bailey got in, he struggled with it. So, you know, you have to be able to complete those. Javonte Payton said this week that, you know, reassured that they will. Velus Jones said the same thing after the game last Saturday, that they've been hitting them in practice. Alante Taylor from the defensive side said the offense has been hitting them in practice, but at some point you got to do it under the lights. And you know, what better chance to try to finally make those connections than in the swamp against Florida. But you know, at some point you gotta hit those long balls. But I did see some things that I liked, starting with, as mentioned, Hendon Hooker, and then the running game as well, I thought was another positive with Tyon Evans out. I thought that that Jabari Small did well, or excuse me, not Jabari Small. He was out too.
Yeah, yeah. Jalen
Wright,
Tyon Evans.
They did have a long list that Jalen Wright did well. Yeah. But yeah, there were, like I said, that, you know, they were able to start off strong and obviously run up a lot of points. But I think that one of the main things that you have to look for this week is possibly getting a lot of guys back going to Gainesville, because, you know, like we said last week, that on kind of that wrap up, that not sure whether some of those guys that they were keeping out were precautionary or otherwise.
Right.
But you have to hope that they are.
I would assume they are.
You need everybody you can get. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Tennessee Tech. I would assume guys like Juwan Mitchell, Dejon Terry, at least, were precaution because we had no knowledge of a, you know, pre-existing injury
right,
or anything
yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And then if you're done with offense, I'll go ahead and move on to the defense here. Four turnovers. I nailed my bold prediction, everybody. I gloated enough Saturday, so I won't go too much here today. But, yeah, four different balls picked off Tennessee Tech on Saturday. It was really great to see going from zero turnovers forced to four. So, if anything gives the Tennessee defense a lot of confidence heading into Florida, it'll be that. So, other than that, though, any other positives or negatives you want to take away from Tennessee defense on Saturday?
I was just going to say the fact that that you were psychic is what has impressed me the most, because you called four picks last week and I didn't believe you.
Bolder than bold.
I don't think Matt or Dale did either. And then lo and behold, they got four picks and took one to the house, almost two. If Alante Taylor's toe hadn't like grazed the Tennessee Tech sideline, man, that was close.
But anyway, I
think aside from the turnovers, that's obviously the biggest confidence booster that you have to take, just getting that many that quickly, you know, even against kind of a hapless Tennessee Tech team. But I think that other than that, then just the way that they flew to the ball, you know, they were all over the field, you know, energetic throughout the afternoon. And how could you not be with four turnovers and, you know, one to the house from Solon Page.
Right.
But, you know, I think that there is a lot of confidence going into this game, and there should be after playing Tennessee Tech, but that you can't let that confidence overshadow what is going to be an absolutely wild atmosphere. Like I couldn't even come up with the word aside from wild, for the terms of that environment at Florida. And, you know, talking to the players this week, they're excited about it, and they're excited about the challenge, about some of these young guys that haven't gotten to travel yet, like Walker Merrill, and you know, some of these vets that are kind of giving them advice on how to handle that environment. But I think that that it should be really interesting going into Gainesville.
Yeah, and I just want to point out, you know, those four picks, three of the Vols, other than Alante Taylor, of course, so Jalen McCullough, Solon Page, and Tamari McDonald, that was their first interception in a Tennessee uniform. So, you know, just talking about, you know, great things to see just in general, and, you know, humane things to see. It's really cool. But yeah, so moving on to Florida here, obviously it's going to be a tough matchup in the Swamp this weekend, on Saturday, September 25th. You know, the Vols aren't favored. It's 20-point line, but if there's anything this offense can exploit the Florida defense on, what do you think that's going to be?
I think that if they're able to connect on those long passes, then the fact that they are moving the ball so fast is the main point, because, you know, like I said before, that that if you're able to move the football, if you can get your running game going, and if you can connect on those deep balls, then you're going to have success with that fast moving offense. You know, Tennessee is leading the country right now. They've got an average of 3.08 offensive plays per minute. And the next closest is Utah State, which is a little under three, but Tennessee coming in at three plays per minute is really, really fast. But like I said, you have to get your running game going and set yourself up for what we've seen them try to do already. Set yourself up for second and short, third and short. Otherwise, if you get, you know, second and I think seven or back, and then obviously third and long, you're already behind, because, you know, you go three plays and you're behind the chains, you're having to punt in less than a minute, which puts your defense back on the field even faster. And so I think that if Tennessee is able to get their running game going early, obviously having Tyon Evans back will help tremendously with that. But if they can do that, then they'll find some success with that quick moving offense. But you have to also be very careful and be able to slow it down if you do get kind of behind the chains and struggle, because if you go that fast and just keep going three and out, three and out, three and out, like we saw a little bit, even in that second quarter against Bowling Green, then Florida is going to, you know, put up 21 points in 3 minutes too. So, you know,
yeah, it's going to tire out the defense like crazy. You got a point there. But one thing I'm worried about with this Tennessee offense is the offensive line health, you know.
I mean,
Tennessee hopes Cooper Mays is going to give it a go. He's been out the last, you know, two games. But and Cade Mays was banged up. I don't think that's too serious. Dane Davis was a little banged up. But still, just the fact that there were so many banged up guys on the line last week and heading into a top-tier SEC school, that's got to be something to worry about, especially since the offensive line hasn't been really Tennessee's strong suit on offense so far anyway. Do you think that Florida's pass rush could give Tennessee problems this Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely I do. I mean, you know, Florida's defense held Alabama to, what was it, 91 rushing yards? And, you know, to hold one of the best offenses in the country to that should be terrifying for Tennessee's offensive line. And, I mean, you know, granted, Florida's defense might not be Georgia level this year, you know, looking at how Georgia has played Clemson and the rest of their schedule so far, but they are still going to give, I think, Tennessee fits if they are not firing on all cylinders on offense, because that Florida defense, I mean, after, you know, two or three series against Alabama, Todd Grantham had his defensive line, his linebackers and his secondary, they were shutting the tide down.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that you really have to be wary of that. And like I said, try to get your running game going early. Try to get Tyon Evans and Jabari Small in a groove and then hit those open shots. If you don't, then that is a quick recipe for disaster.
Man, you couldn't have put it. I couldn't have put it better. That was some really great insight there, Jake. And just going to the other side of the ball here with the Tennessee defense matching up with the Florida offense, you know, Florida's kind of been rolling with two quarterbacks here. We've seen a little bit of Emory Jones and a little bit of Henderson, but what do you think is going to be the biggest disadvantage for this Tennessee defense matching up with Florida's offense?
I think that it's the confidence that Emory Jones have, or at least should have right now, because he struggled a little bit early this season, but you know, Dan Mullen had that kid ready to go on Saturday against Alabama, and he was pretty good. But I think that outside of that, that with Jones and with Florida's rushing attack, that you have to worry about both of those. And that I've said it, you know, before this season, but Tennessee has to get something out of Juwan Mitchell this Saturday. They have not seen nearly enough from him yet to be as heralded as he was coming out of Texas, and for you to have success against Florida's vaunted running game and for you to be able to shut down some of those speedy receivers on the perimeter, you have got to have success at the linebacker position. And, you know, we've seen Jeremy Banks body slam a few guys, and, you know, I think Juwan had some success last week. He had a few tackles, but he has got to step up bigger this week. And, you know, I think they need another big day from Byron Young. He tied the team lead in tackles last week with Aubrey Solomon with six. Yeah. And so you've got to have a massive day from him and Tyler Barron. And just like I said, just do your best to slow this Florida offense down. Because like I said, if Tennessee's offense goes three and out, three and out, three and out, time and time again, each time less than a minute, then that defense is going to be huffing and puffing by the second quarter, and you've got a lot on your plate. So I think that that aside from that, that you have to be able to just, you know, control, and this is going to go very into, I think, yoga and like into just general conditioning, but I think you have to be able to even control your breathing in an environment like Florida's. You know, it's going to be wild. There's going to be people screaming in your ear. And like I said, if you're huffing and puffing because of the way the offense is or isn't moving, then you're going to be tired very fast. And so I think you have to be able to kind of put all that together and, you know, stay within yourself and not focus too much on on the exteriors of where you are or who you're playing against, given the way that Florida took Bama down to the wire last week.
Yeah, really great stuff there, Jake, man. You are on today, but and I misspoke earlier. Anthony Richardson, not Henderson, is right. Florida's other quarterback who's seen some playing time this year along with Emory Jones. But in the Alabama game, it was all Emory there taking the throws for the Gators. But Jake, just some over and under here to close out this Florida-Tennessee preview. Over under Tennessee, 100 rushing yards.
I'm going to put Tennessee slightly over that. I'll put them at, I'd say 110. I would have, okay. I think Jabari and Tyon can at least get that.
So do you think Tennessee's rushing attack will be more potent than their passing attack on Saturday?
Yeah, I think that it has to be, you know, for them to be able to generate something. And, you know, especially, like I said, given that they haven't hit those deep shots yet, that at this point, I'll believe it when I see it. You know,
right.
So you've got to at least get something else from your rushing attack. And I think that Jabari and Tyon will be able to do that. And I did forget to mention this earlier on the defensive side. I apologize, but to switch gears for a second, but outside of Emory Jones and Florida's rushing game, I think that Tennessee also needs to be mindful of Anthony Richardson, because we have all seen how backup quarterbacks can thrive against Tennessee. And I think that has to be of some concern, just making sure that you prepare adequately for both of the guys that will be under center for the Gators. But I'm sorry, continue with the offensive discussion. I apologize.
No, you're totally good, man.
To that, but I felt like I needed to mention it.
No, you're totally good, man. And I just want to make sure our listeners know that there's not any word on if Joe Milton will be able to give it a go. You know, we've seen Milton and Hooker play, so we know that Hooker's going to kind of, you know, throw the more underthrows, do a lot more quarterback runs, and Milton's going to try the deep shots, which, you know, maybe could give Tennessee more upside to put points up on Florida if they were able to hit those deep shots, because we've seen Tennessee receivers get so much separation. But Florida does have a better secondary with Kyer Elam and others. But Tennessee over under 250 passing yards.
I'm going to go under that.
Okay. Florida over under 250 passing yards.
I'm going to go over.
Okay. Emory had 195 against Alabama last weekend. Florida over under 150 rushing yards.
I'm going to go slightly over on that one as well.
Yeah, they had quite a bit last week against Alabama. Let's see, that's over 200 rushing yards total, like 215,
yeah,
give or take. And then the spread is 20. So what's your score prediction for this weekend?
My prediction is, this is not going to sound fun to people, but, you know, it's the truth. I'm going to go 35-10 Gators.
35-10. Obviously, Tennessee fans and, you know, the team, obviously, you're always going to shoot for a win, but, you know, the team has to know what they're getting themselves into, especially on the road. Do you think a 35-10 is sending a disappointing message to the Tennessee locker room that they have a lot to work on? Or do you think it's, okay, this wasn't too bad, we escaped Gainesville, let's move on?
I think that if you score more than one touchdown, then you should be walking out with some confidence, frankly. I think that it's going to be a rough day given what we've seen from Florida so far. And just, you know, Tennessee has shown signs of promise, but not enough to be able to get anywhere close to an upset in Gainesville. And so I think that this definitely has to be a, you know, go in and play your tail off for 2.5-3 hours kind of game, and then immediately flush it and just go forward, because, you know, you've still got after this, you've still got 8 more games on your schedule in this season. And so you've still got plenty to work for. And look, it's not like Tennessee has competed with Florida in recent years anyway, except for 16 when they had Josh Dobbs, Alvin Kamara, and Juwan Jennings.
Yeah.
So, you know, these guys believe that they can win, but at the same time, you have to understand that if things don't go the way you believe they will or the way you want them to, then you have to be able to clear quickly and move on and flush it. And like I said, just say, all right, you know, that's a loss. Forget about it. Move on. And, you know, do exactly what Josh Heupel did last Saturday after Tennessee Tech, as he kind of leaned more into the Florida matchup, even in post-game questions, and for good reason, because he knows what he's facing this week. He knows the competition level goes up by a significant amount. And so right. I think you just have to be prepared for putting it behind you, I think, after this one's over, because as soon as you walk off the field, you're looking into week five.
Yeah, against Mizzou, another road matchup. And, you know, going into the season, you know, everyone's obviously, oh, what's Tennessee's record? What's Tennessee's record going to be? And, you know, 6-6 was a common number, maybe 7-5, maybe 5-7. And it seemed like there were three make or break games for Tennessee, with the Pitt matchup at home, which they lost.
Yep.
And then the two road matchups against Mizzou and Kentucky. Those three seemed like the most toss up matchups. So if Tennessee puts up 17 points on Florida Saturday, will that elevate your confidence in the orange and white to be able to knock off the Tigers or the Wildcats on the road this season?
Yes. And I don't think that Missouri or Kentucky would necessarily be I think Missouri would be somewhat of a knockoff if you're going with that terminology.
Yeah.
But I think that Kentucky, you know, we haven't seen enough from them. They were, you know, trailing to Chattanooga for three quarters.
Well, Kentucky beat Mizzou by a touchdown. So there's that.
But, well, that's true. That's true. But I think that for either one, that, you know, you have to be more confident in those. And like I said, be able to, if Florida doesn't go your way, be able to flush it. You know, think about the fact that you still have a few very winnable, games that could put you in a bowl.
All right. Let's go with offensive and defensive X factors for Tennessee here. So if Tennessee is able to make a splash against Florida, who has to be their offensive X factor?
I think that hard looking at what we've seen, but I think it would have to be Bayless Jones from what I've seen from him, just that, you know, you saw what he could do on special teams on Saturday against Tennessee Tech, and you saw what he could do with the ball in his hands in general. And I think that that has to be your X factor, that, you know, you get him into the open field and let him make plays and you're going to have more success. And, you know, if you set him up, like I said, with that running game and are able to set up some play designs that we've seen from Heupel that are really good, you know, he's against Pitt. Even though they lost, Heupel was play calling out of his mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they had some fantastic designs drawn up. So I think that if you can use some of that misdirection and get the ball to number one, then you're automatically going to have more success given what we've seen from Bayless so far.
Yeah, it's just the explosiveness from Bayless, you know, it's been insane to watch on the field. And moving to defense, who has to be Tennessee's defensive X factor? I kind of have a feeling who you're already going to say, but who has to be that guy?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Juwan Mitchell and then also Theo Jackson. I think that that Theo is, I think, leading the country right now, or close to it, in tackles for loss so far this season, and has notched career highs in several categories. And he is just playing out of his mind right now, or at least has been through the first 3 weeks. So I think Tennessee needs to get a lot from him. And like I said before, get a lot from Juwan Mitchell if they want to have success.
Right, yeah, we got to see, you know, our transfer linebacker put up a great game on the road against a very tough SEC opponent. And everybody, that's going to do it for this episode of the VR2 on SI podcast. Be sure and tune into Tennessee, Florida this Saturday, September 25th. You can watch it on ESPN, can stream it on ESPN.com. And also be sure and follow VR2 on SI for coverage of the game. You can also give Jake a follow at JNichols_2121 and your host a follow while you're at it at Jack Foster TV. So I appreciate all of you listening and allowing Jake and I to do what we love week in and week out, and that is to talk Tennessee sports. For Jake Nichols, I'm Jack Foster, and we will talk to all of you wonderful people next time.